On today's episode of the Commute Podcast, we speak with Savannah Book Festival Executive Director Erica Dongre about the virtual options that they are doing in lieu of the traditional 2021 festival. We also speak to two Savannah Morning News reporters who were out at the polls for early voting, where a lot of consternation was happening across Georgia as a large slew of people came out to early vote on the first day that was available. This is the Commute Podcast. Hello again, this is Zach Dennis. I'm sitting in for Adam on this Tuesday episode. Thank you guys for listening to the Commute Podcast. Like I said at the top, we're going to be talking about the Savannah Book Festival. That had to switch to a more virtual option, as has a lot of different things. And so they have a number of virtual seminars and talks that they're going to be offering starting now and going through the spring. So we talked with the Executive Director Erica Dongre about what they are offering there. Then we're joined by Savannah Morning News reporters Will Peebles and Deanne Kamenecki to talk a little bit about their experiences out at the polls. Will was at the Eisenhower Drive main office, checking out what people were thinking and doing over there. And Deanne was out in Pooler, where a lot of people were frustrated with the long lines and issues that were marring the election process out there. But first, let's talk a little bit about our presenting sponsor, National Office Systems. As we all still sit in our home offices, at least most of us here at the Savannah Morning News, we're still doing that. We miss the comfort and the luxury of having that office space. I know that I've been going back to the office a couple times a week when possible and enjoying my little office collection that National Office Systems provided. They are the exclusive providers of Dirt Modular Interiors and Herman Miller Furniture, and it's all made here locally in Effingham County and a Savannah area location. So you're getting locally made products to fill out your office needs. Again, that's at National Office Systems, natoffices.com. That is natoffices.com to learn more. Now, let's speak with Erica. Joining us on the commute today is Erica Dongre. She is the executive director of the Savannah Book Festival, which sadly announced recently that the 2021 version will not be happening traditionally due to the coronavirus pandemic. But Erica is here today to talk a little bit about some of the virtual events that are going to be happening this fall going into next year to supplement those book festival desires. Erica, thank you so much for taking some time today.
Thank you for having me.
So, but before we dig into the events and everything, you know, it's unfortunate that the book festival is not happening, but I think a little bit of the irony almost is that at the same time, at least in the beginning of the pandemic, it was like peak book reading people time. You know, it was just ample amount of time to read books.
And I don't know, I think people, the books that they purchased at the 2020 festival, they were taking the time to read, right afterwards during all of this.
Exactly. It's, you know, it seems to be, you know, with a lot of the festivals, you get so excited, you buy all these stuff, you're like, I can't wait to dig into these. But then, you know, time kind of gets away from you. And it seemed like everybody got ample amount of time to catch up with all those book titles they caught at the 2020 festival.
Yeah, I mean, I was finally able to read some of the books that I didn't have the time to read before the festival because I was planning the festival. So it worked for me as well.
Exactly. So now that everybody has kind of cleaned their palate, they're looking for new things to read. The Savannah Book Festival has some options, and you all have two virtual events that are going to be coming up. Actually, one will be this Wednesday, the Wednesday following the podcast on Tuesday, and another one will be on October 19th, that following Monday. You have Brad Thor and Sandra Brown. Give us a little bit of an idea of who both of these authors are. They're both New York Times bestselling authors and very well read. And I guess kind of what made them, you know, ideal picks for these first virtual events.
Well, we wanted to pick events, you know, kind of like how we have our headliners for our traditional event. We were picking authors that were that headliner status to open up our virtual series, which will continue into 2021. And as you mentioned, Brad Thor is a number one New York Times bestselling author. He's got 20 thrillers, which include Backlash, Spymaster, The Last Patriot, Blowback, and The Lions of Lucerne. And his most recent book is Near Dark, which came out in July. And he's appeared on ABC, CBS, NBC, PBS, Fox News, and among others, discussing mm-hmm. terrorism, as well as how closely his novels of international intrigue parallel the real threats facing the world today. Mm-hmm. And like I said, he's this Near Dark that just came out was an instant number one bestseller. So he'll be touching on that. And you can purchase the book as well through our booksellers, which are eShaver Bookseller and Ex Libris.
For both of these virtual events, I think that at this point now in the pandemic, most people have kind of figured out, you know, the way these are working. But this seems like kind of at least a little bit of a best of both worlds. You all are going to be offering a service that is somewhat similar to the experience of going to the book festival and hearing these authors speak in the paid events, but it's, you know, in a virtual setting. So, I mean, for viewers who are going to be joining these, what can they kind of expect in terms of just the conversation and how the setup is going to be?
Well, you'll see on your screen, we'll have a moderator who will be in conversation with the author. So you'll be seeing two people on the screen and they'll be in conversation discussing, you know, the writing life, you know, the arc of his career, his or her career, and about the most recent book. Audience will have a chance to submit questions online for the moderator to then ask the author at the end of the event. And there's a little ask a question option at the bottom of the screen on the right side, and viewers will just click on that, type their question, and when the moderator is ready to do Q&A with the author, they will go through the questions submitted by the audience, trying to bring it as close as possible to what we have in person.
Yeah. No, it's not the ideal. You know, everybody would love to be there and experiencing the festival in person, but I feel like in the interim, that's probably the best alternative. And then for the October 19th virtual event, you have Sandra Brown, who I've seen her name popping up a lot on with her new novel, Thick as Thieves, is one of those. This is definitely one you want to mark down for your Christmas list or end of the year, you know, reading list. What can people kind of learn or know ahead of time about her as an author?
Well, she is, again, also another New York Times number one bestselling author, and she's had 71 New York Times bestsellers, which
wow.
include Outfox, Tailspin, Seeing Red, Sting, Mean Streak, among others. And she writes a lot of thrillers, but she's also written romance. Mm-hmm. And she had an episode on True TV's Murder by the Book, which premiered the series in 2008 and has appeared in 2010 on Investigation Discovery series, Hardcover Mysteries. So I think a lot of people are aware of her, and you've either seen something on the screen based on a book of hers or from her, mm-hmm. her writing experience. And now with Thick as Thieves out, that just came out in August, that is, you know, definitely the book to put on the Christmas list.
Definitely. And you know, like we said, even now, it seems like there's a lot of time for reading, even at this point in the pandemic. You know, this could be, you know, somewhat me hypothesizing, but I would assume that, you know, not only these two authors, but I'm sure a number of the other authors kind of down the way, because like I mentioned before, this is going to be going on through the fall, but then into the spring when the normal festival would be happening. But I would assume that a lot of these authors are probably thrilled to kind of join these virtual events, because I'm sure they're, you know, their usual schedule of touring and talking and doing that has been completely disrupted with the pandemic. I mean, just kind of cursory from, you know, you all speaking with authors and kind of planning this, what have you kind of noticed about the book industry at the moment?
Well, I mean, obviously a lot of the authors are not traveling, which was a big reason for us having to cancel the stuff or being able to commit to travel. So this is giving them the chance to still get in front of their readers and probably giving them a chance to maybe do more events since they're not traveling in person. They're able to fit in a few different virtual events in a shorter period of time than maybe in-person events. It's also giving us the chance to hopefully get some international authors that we normally aren't able to bring to Savannah for the festival, but have the chance to talk with those authors now that we have this virtual platform to work with.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of those things where, you know, you want to be there in person, but the virtual option kind of offers a lot of opportunities. And I'm sure there's folks who,
you know, I know from the past speaking with y'all that, you know, it's just difficult with all, with the schedules and kind of, you know, timing and such. And so this kind of opens it up. So I'm sure people who, have been, you've probably been on your wish list or have been wanting to come to Savannah, at least they can come visit Savannah in a virtual setting.
Exactly. And we could work with their schedule a little more now, so we can pick a date that works for, you know, we don't have one set, you know, time period like we do in February. We can work with them a little bit on a date that works in with their schedule as well when planning these virtual events.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, like I said, there's some more virtual events coming up soon. You know, going into the spring. Anything anything else that you can kind of tease for us as we look forward to these first two kicking off in October?
Well, we are also confirming dates for November for two authors, Dave Barry, who wrote Lessons from Lucy, and also John Connolly, who is another thriller, and he has written The Dirty South. So we will be posting those dates soon on our website and making announcements and adding on for the rest of the month, December and beyond 2020.
Absolutely. Well, you can find all of that info and more at savannahbookfestival.org/events. Erica, thank you so much. And I'm looking forward to seeing these virtual events. It's nice to kind of see the book festival returning in some form.
Thank you so much. We're happy to provide something for our audience, you know, because we know how hard it is to have this festival not happen in February when everyone's dying to get out and do something social. So we're hoping this fills that need and that desire until we're able to hopefully go back to normal in 2022.
We're going to take a break in this podcast before we talk with Will and Deanne to briefly mention the George Southern Extra podcast. It is full-fledged college football season, and I'm sure everybody is clamoring for some of that knowledge and what's going on as the different teams try to navigate the college football world in the midst of a pandemic. And here at the Savannah Morning News, we offer both a podcast and a newsletter for Georgia Southern football fans. Georgia Southern Extra, the podcast, is hosted by reporters Nathan Dominitz and McLean Baxley as they go over the weekend news and recaps and speak with beat writers from all over the nation to talk a little bit about what's going on with Georgia Southern football. You can find that wherever you listen to podcasts, whether that's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, all that good stuff. Or you can go to savannahnow.com/podcast to learn more about that. You can also go to savannahnow.com/newsletters to subscribe to the Georgia Southern Extra newsletter to get all of that Eagles news to your inbox. Now let's talk with Will and Deanne.
Joining us today on the commute are Savannah Morning News reporters Will Peebles and Deanne Komanecki. They both were out at early voting polls yesterday. Will was at the Eisenhower Drive main site, and Deanne went out to what turned out to be a lot of hysteria out in Pooler. Will, I'm going to start with you. You were at the Chatham County Board of Elections office at Eisenhower Drive, which is kind of the main spot for voting and usually the main early voting spot. What was the scene like there, and what did you see? Yeah, what did you see yesterday?
It was honestly pretty heartening because I went out and I saw a ton of people lined up to vote, as probably everybody did all over social media. Lots of pictures were out there, and the line was probably, it's hard to tell with social distancing, but I would say probably around 200 to 300 people in line at any given moment after maybe 9 o'clock throughout the day. It was pretty packed, and people were excited to vote and really determined was what I found. Like, there's, you know, early voting goes until the 30th. And I told some people this, but they were just unfazed by that information. They were like, no, I'm going to vote today. I'm going to stay here until I vote. And I was like, well, you know, and you know, there's a myriad of reasons why that could be. They had the day off for Columbus Day, I guess, or they had taken that day off specifically to go vote. So I don't know, but determination was kind of the big theme that I saw yesterday. People were very committed to getting in there and casting their ballot early.
Yeah, I know that you've written extensively about the absentee ballot boxes that were placed around the county. I mean, you spoke a little bit with election officials and the Board of Registrars yesterday. What, at least from hearing from them, just from a statewide, issue standpoint with a lot of the voting systems in Georgia, I mean, what were their, responses? I mean, was there something happening locally, or was it just kind of the, was this just a statewide issue?
Yeah. So the issue was, as far as I understood it, and as far as it was explained to me by the chairman of the Board of Registrars in Chatham County, Colin McRae, he said that in Pooler specifically, but kind of it extended all around as well, it was an error with the check-in system. So when you go in to vote, be it early voting or regular voting, as long as it's in person, you're going to have to sign in. You have to give them your ID. You know, you have to sign the consent form and all that stuff, and maybe consent form isn't the right term, but you have to sign that piece of paper to match your signature. And then that goes into a computer system, which matches your registration and the address on your registration and your signature and all that with the Secretary of State's database of all of these names. And apparently that was having issues yesterday in Pooler. I think DN went out there and a poll worker said it was down for about an hour. And Colin McRae's theory on it was that there were just so many people around Georgia early voting, and you can kind of see that our sister papers, the Augusta Chronicle and the Banner Herald in Athens, were they were seeing similar things. You know, a lot of reports out of Atlanta for long wait times, and you know, Cobb, Fulton, that whole area up there. So I feel like that was what Colin kind of blamed it on, was just a swarming of the system, that the Secretary of State system just wasn't prepared for the massive amount of people to show up for early voting.
That seems to be from statewide reports, the what has been the attributed issue. Deanne, you were out in Pooler, which seemed to be really the hotbed for a lot of consternation around the county. When you went out to the recreation center, I mean, what was the scene like there? What were people talking about? What was the reaction out in Pooler?
Well, there were, as Will said in Eisenhower, there were a lot of determined voters. When I got there, about 11:43. I checked my time, and there were probably about 200 people in line, I guess. The line had not moved for several hours at that point, according to people in line. But yet they were all pretty well determined to vote. They, you know, several of them said that it was talked about how important it was to cast their ballot, and they would stay as long as it took. There were some people that were complaining after a while with how long it was taking, because the line just stopped and didn't move for a couple of hours, it seemed, and people didn't understand that. There was only one line. There weren't two lines for – they didn't have a separate line for seniors or handicapped people, so it was one line. And at this voting location they had, it's a gymnasium. It's a big building, but the entranceway, as soon as you walked in, the check-in computers were right there, and so they had everything kind of gathered up by the front door. There was no room for anyone to get inside hardly, and maybe sit down if you were elderly or disabled in some way. There were a lot of people that brought their own chairs. They came prepared. And on a personal note, my husband voted yesterday, and he stood in line 5 hours and 20 minutes, which is a record for him. He's never waited that long. But he took a vacation day to vote, and he wanted to do it on the first day. And he was also one of those determined voters. And so he hung in there. And some people did leave and maybe try another location or going to try to come back another day. But for the majority of people, they were determined to cast their ballot that day. But it didn't go well. And I understand there were a lot of voters, but in that particular spot, they never seemed to recover from their early morning delays with the system or whatever was wrong with it. The line just wasn't moving. I don't understand quite yet what was taking so long once they got inside. They had two or three people checking voters in, but when I went inside, they were doing that, but then there was no one at a voting machine. Mm-hmm. There seemed to be some kind of a delay between the checking in and the getting to cast your ballot. What that was, I don't know.
Yeah. And I mean, that's, I feel like Pooler especially is kind of, it's not great that that's the place that was having a lot of issues, because I know both of you can attribute to the 2018 election, which was big because mm-hmm. of the gubernatorial election between Brian Kemp and Stacey Abrams, that Pooler was right. another one of the places that were highlighted for long waits and some problems there. So you got to figure that's going to be a spot monitored for the next month or so heading into the primary, you know, the primary voting day.
Well, okay. Again, I think there's a couple of tweaks they might could make with how they have it set up, and maybe have a defined line between. And there was no signage. I felt like there should be some signs or something saying senior citizens of whatever age it is it 75? Well, can vote, can come to the front of this line, you know, or come to the second line. Mm-hmm. But there was no signage of that kind of thing. And maybe they don't have to, and it's probably not that way anywhere else either. But there's a couple of tweaks I thought they could do to maybe make it a little smoother. And moving those people back from the front door a little bit, give you a little space to let a few people in the door, especially today. It's going to be very hot today. And I don't know if the lines are going to be like they were yesterday, but I have a feeling they won't be as hot as it's going
to
be.
Well, Deanne, I'm glad that you were able to get your husband back after a long wait in the voting line yesterday. And thank you to you both for taking some time. I know it was
he was tired.
it was a long, tiring day yesterday, but I know everybody was checking out the coverage on SavannahNow.com. But yeah, thank you both.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to today's Commute Podcast. Thank you to Erica Dongre and Will Peebles and Deanne Kamenecki for coming on the episode. And thank you guys for listening. You know, it's always nice to get behind the microphone every once in a while. If you are a fan of The Commute, be sure to rate, review us, give us all that good stuff wherever you listen to podcasts. And we will be back on Thursday with a Beacon Thursday episode. Amy Page Condon will be back in the seat to talk a little bit about regionalism. If you've not picked up the most recent issue of the Beacon magazine, it is on newsstands now. Thank you guys, and have a good Tuesday.